Welcome to the Washington Church Toledo podcast. Together, we are learning to encourage one another to walk with God through cultivating a personal relationship with Jesus the Christ. This podcast consists of recordings from our Sunday morning worship services and other teaching events that you are more than welcome to come join us live at.
This morning, we have an in-house speaker, which is really fun. And actually, I got to hang out with a buddy of mine who's a pastor in town, and he's coming next month to speak to us, which is also awesome in March. But this speaker who's coming, she shared here before, and one of the things that is one of my passions, and I think it is what God asks of us in the scriptures, and that is to raise people up. That's what leaders do. That's what healthy leaders do, is raise other people up. And so we've seen that happen, and I'd love for each and every one of you to discover the gifts that God has given to you, because if you have a relationship with Jesus, then you have spiritual gifts. That's what the scriptures tell us. And so we're trying to create the spaces as best we can to cultivate, create spaces where people can work on those gifts and practice those gifts. Encounter Night's a space for that, but we've started on Sunday morning with that, And actually, Jacintha Murphy came to me, and she just, God put it on her heart to train up people to speak and be able to articulate God's word. And we created space for that, for people to practice that gift of teaching. And we've seen people blossom from that, and just great things happen from that. And so this person was a part of that group, and she got to speak, and then she got to speak again. And we just keep seeing this gift budding in her and the passion that she has. And so would you join me in welcoming Kelly Byrne up to the stage?
You guys are my family. I hope you know that. Wow. I just want to honor Pastor Jimmy for making this space available, because it's really brave of you. Seriously. And I want to bless and honor Jacintha too, and Dylan. What you guys bring as a couple is a gift to our church family, and I just honor you. Yeah. Wow. Woo. Okay. So I want to let you know, I don't usually travel with this computer. I really like to just like have my Bible with me and just like speak to you straight from my heart. But the way that this message came together felt so, it felt like such a supernatural experience for me, to be honest with you, that I really felt like I wanted to give it to you as I received it. And so I don't think that you guys will feel like I'm just reading off of a computer, but that I'm actually speaking to you this morning. But I want to let you know that that's kind of why this is here. And I'm just, whoo, really excited for what God wants to share with all of you this morning. To also confess to you that for those of you who don't know, I'm a firstborn child. Any other firstborns in the house? Whoop, whoop. So I like to follow the rules. I like to do well. I like to meet or exceed expectations. And when I was given this passage by Pastor Jimmy a few months ago and looked at it, I was like, oh my goodness, this is like a home run slam dunk of basic theology that I could just lay on you this morning, and I would love to like meet my expectations by giving that message. However, God also has a firstborn son who shows us that it's always better to do what the Father says and what he shows us. And so Jesus, as I was preparing this, really laid this invitation on my heart that I was like, I don't even know what that has to do with this passage of scripture. Really should just stick to the assignment. But I'm going to try to do my best to be obedient this morning to the voice of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we'll go from there. So are y'all ready to ride? Woo! Let's do it. Okay, so while we're in the spirit of confession and honesty, I brought some show and tell for you today. Maggie, oh, look at those cuties. So that's 22-year-old Corey and I about to go whitewater rafting for the first time. We were engaged and intending and serving at Washington Church at this point. And at this point in my life, I didn't know how to swim without a flotation device. So what better thing to do than go whitewater rafting, right? I just honor and bless my husband, Corey, that he's always been down to do the things that seem crazy or otherwise impossible. So that's us. All right, would you stand to your feet with me? We're going to read our passage of scripture for today. I think sometimes changing our physical posture helps us change and engage the posture of our heart. So we're going to read out 1 John chapter 3, verses 23 through 24. You guys don't have to read it along with me. I think that sometimes that can get a little extra, but thank you for standing to your feet. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. All right, take a seat. I'm going to ask you to take a deeper look at these verses with me and tell me something, because I've found that when it comes to Bible study, the rule finders keepers applies. So if you find something in the word, you're more likely to keep it with you. So when you look at this verse, there's Bibles in the pews. Crack it open if you need to. When you look at this verse, what word do you see repeated the most, other than he or in? Command. I know, Pat really teed me up for this one, and I felt like the kids could have just given the whole message. Yeah, they're such a gift to us. Ooh, that's a tangent. Anyway, okay, so when words repeat, as they often do in the Gospel of John and the letters of John, it commands, pun intended, our attention. Okay, and so as I read these verses to prepare this message, I sensed an invitation to renew our minds and our relationship with this word command. Because I think there's a part of our flesh that feels really grated when we hear the word command, like commands are for dogs, right? We live in the land of the free that was founded on life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so what does obedience to commands, how does that fit into that paradigm? Well, we see Jesus in the Gospel of John in chapter 12 say, and I know that his, my Father's, commandment is eternal life. Jesus. If anyone could have operated out of his own authority, it seems like it would be the Son of God. And he said, no. Whatever I see, hear my Father doing, saying, that's what I'm about, because I know his commandment is eternal life. And he says in John 15, you are my friends if you do what I command you. And that's what I really sense is God's desire this morning, is to extend this invitation for friendship with him this morning. And so I'm asking that we would resolve to renew our minds, that his commandments truly are eternal life. As a firstborn, I hate to be bossed around just as much as the next person, if not more. But let me tell you, when we went whitewater rafting, I had never been so glad to receive instruction in my life. I was so scared. I could not swim, so I knew I had to stay on that raft. No matter what, I had to completely put my life in the hands of our guide. So I wanted to follow his every instruction exactly and immediately. Like, you tell me to put it over here, down, okay, I'm there. And so I had never done this before, but I knew that our guide had done it more times than I could count. There's some crazy people that like to lead these whitewater rafting. I mean, they are just a special breed, which I'm so thankful for. I didn't know these waters, what we were heading toward, or how to navigate what we were going into, but the guide did. So I didn't question his commands, nor did it bother me in the slightest to be bossed around. It was my joy to listen and obey his commandments like my life depended on it, because it did. Now, that should sound familiar, because this story is repeated over and over again in the Bible. Noah, a friend of God, listened and followed God's instructions to build an ark and rescue his family. Moses, a friend of God, listened and led the Hebrews to follow God's command to kill a lamb and put the blood on their doorpost to save all their firstborn children in what came to be known and celebrated as the Passover. And God showed me because obeying God's command in that moment literally meant life for them and for their children, when they later received the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai, they understood, oh, these commands are life for us. And then we see all through Israel's history when warriors and leaders would stop to listen and obey God in whatever he said. Walk around the wall, and then walk around it again, and then walk around it again. They experienced victory in battle and supernatural miracles and provision. God's people saw this pattern of blessing for obedience to the commands of God, and they experienced the deep difficulties of deciding to disobey God's commands instead. And they had experienced such pain as a people due to their disobedience that by the time Jesus showed up on the scene, the religious leaders had added so many rules and restrictions around the commandments of God as guardrails that it felt heavy and impossible to follow God at all. But this was not the way it was meant to be. So Jesus came to reveal in himself the way, the truth that sets free, and the life that is eternal. I love the writings of John, the youngest disciple, because in his formative early teenage years, he was formed by the love of God. So much so that he referred to himself as the beloved disciple, or the disciple whom Jesus loved. And I used to think that was really presumptuous of him. But I realized it wasn't John trying to be cocky. He was just convinced that there was nothing else that mattered about his identity or his personhood anymore. It was just that Jesus loved him. And it was so clear to John who Jesus is and what our response to that is to be. You see, John understood Jesus to be the one who was from the beginning. Like a whitewater rafting guy knows the river, so Jesus knows and understands the design of all things, and particularly how to navigate the things of our lives. John understood Jesus to be the Lamb of God, that like the Passover lamb's blood meant life for the firstborn children of Israel, so Jesus' blood means eternal life for all God's children. Literally, like me with the whitewater raft guide, our life is in his hands. Therefore, should it not be our joy to receive his every instruction as an invitation to fullness of life? And listen to the commandments that John lists for us here in 1 John 3:23. Believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. An Israelite that was given hundreds of rules would be like, is that all? Yes. Yeah, that's all. Because the hallmark of the heroes, the friends of God, like Noah and Moses, was faith. To believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, is to put all your faith into the character of God, to realize that Jesus is the Son of the Father, allows our reality to be shaped by our own sonship, invites us to live into our identity as a child of God. To believe that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, is what allows us to step into our anointing, the Holy Spirit abiding in us. You see, the Ten Commandments were not meant to be the final say. Jesus paid for and presented a new way, starting with a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. True love means a yielded will to the one you love. I'm going to say that one more time. True love means a yielded will to the one you love. Jesus said, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Whoa. He didn't say, I do everything the Father commanded me so that the world may know I'm perfect, the spotless lamb, the sacrifice. No. He said, so that the world may know that I love the Father. And so he invites us then, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. To which we may think, wait, I understand that commands have to do with life, but what in the world do commands have to do with love or friendship? I'm so glad you asked. I have the great privilege right now in my life of watching toddlers develop. And toddlers are learning so many new skills, but one that is particularly interesting to watch them navigate is learning how to be a friend. Because you see, toddlers are the center of the universe, clearly. I mean, it's why you wonder, is it the toddler running the household or the parents running the household? And so as toddlers mature, they realize quickly that if they want to make a friend, they have to be willing to yield their will to the will of another for it to work. If you insist on your own way all the time, you won't get very far in friendship. Some adults need to be reminded of this pre-K playground rule sometimes. And we find that when we do what our friends ask of us, they're more willing to trust more of themselves to us. How do you feel when a friend consistently doesn't follow through on what you ask of them? Are you more or less likely to share more of your heart and life with them? Can you begin to see how to be God's friend not only requires faith, but love that is able to yield and lay down our will to listen and follow through on the requests and commands of Jesus? I believe God's heart for you this morning is to understand that God does not want to lay these commands before you in his word to make you follow through on them as if you were a slave. Jesus' heart is revealed to us in John 15:15 when he says, no longer do I call you slaves, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. The Father's desire from the beginning has been for intimacy, this reciprocal knowing where we are known by him and he is known by us. And you can know someone by what they desire. And the God of the universe decrees what he desires, so we can know him by his decrees, by his commands. And his desire from the beginning has been that we would hear from God and walk with him, listen and obey and find fullness of life in all his ways. So at the Last Supper and in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus extends the invitation of the garden to us again, the same way he extended it to Adam and Eve and the Israelites. If you will listen to me and obey my commands, I will live with you, make my dwelling place with you, abide with you. Because the commandments were never meant to have the final say, but Jesus purchased and showed us a better way. He asked the Father to send the Holy Spirit to live in us, his commands written on our hearts, his voice, his life on the inside of us, closer than our skin, better, Jesus said, than him being here in the flesh with us. Whew. holy fear settles on me as I share these words with you, the sheer weight of invitation for friendship with God. You see, God invited all of the Israelites up the mountain to be his friends, to speak with them so that they may obey his voice and live. But only Moses went and earned the title friend of God, or one God knew face to face. And he couldn't even see his face. We can. It's wild. In Psalm 26, it says, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. To them, he makes known his covenant. Friendship in the footnotes can also be translated as the secret counsel of the Lord. His friendship, his secret counsel, the revelation of his ways and invitation into them is for those who have faith and follow him. These are the ones that he folds into his family and keeps his promise to, his covenant people. See, something that I found interesting as I was preparing this message and looking back at the connections that I found in the Last Supper and the Garden of Gethsemane dialogue in the Gospel of John was that Judas Iscariot, the disciple who betrayed Jesus, left the table before Jesus gave his disciples the new commandment to love one another. The Judas was leading the soldiers to Jesus in the garden, while Jesus was leading the disciples in the garden to understand that he considered them friends as he revealed the secret counsel of the Father to them. Jesus, throughout the Gospels, shows that he chooses who he entrusts himself to. And it is often those he finds with faith and those who are ready to yield their will and lay down their lives for the sake of his kingdom. And Jesus knew that Judas hadn't fully put his faith in him, but that he sided with the religious leaders and institution of rules and regulations instead. That Judas loved money more than him and was not willing to lay down his life as a friend, but instead laid down pieces of silver to betray him. There are some of us today who, because we are stuck in our religious traditions, rules, and regulations, can't receive Jesus' invitation to friendship. There are some of us who are still so in love with the world, with money, and with the praises of man that we can't truly lay our lives down to do what Jesus commands, what he reveals to us from the Father's heart. However, there are some of you this morning whose hearts are burning, even as I share this, who will receive the invitation and covenant with God to obey his commands, to put your full faith in Jesus the Christ and lay down your life and your will to love one another as Jesus loved us and receive the invitation to the garden intimacy we were made to walk in from Eden and were invited anew to walk in as disciples of Jesus from the Garden of Gethsemane. Because this is truly the invitation that I believe I've been asked to extend this morning, that we would renew our minds about this word command, that we would realize the significance of believing in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and loving one another, and receive the invitation to abide in God and God in us through the gift of the Holy Spirit, finding that his commands truly are eternal life and that we are his friends if we do what he commands. All right, Lauren, if you could come play the keys. I don't have anything else. This is what Jesus gave me. And that's a lot. So I just want to invite all of us into a space to pray and respond to this invitation that I feel like he's really wanting to share with you this morning, which is I'm inviting you into afresh into friendship with myself, and my friends do what I command. And my command is this, that you would believe in me, that you would put your full faith in my character, and that you would love one another as I have loved you. That caveat is huge. Not just love one another, but the way that we see Jesus love us is how we are to love one another. It's this laid down love, this laid down sacrifice. And so as they start to play music, I'm just going to, as Holy Spirit leads me, pray with you guys around this invitation and trust that God does want to meet with you this morning. Changed from the beginning, from when you created us. You created us to know you, to hear your voice, and to walk with you. There's some of you in the room this morning that have given your lives to Jesus, but don't believe that you can hear his voice. And so right now, I just break that in the spirit. We break off any agreement that we can't hear the voice of God. We declare the truth that we have in the Gospel of John that says, my sheep hear my voice. And so I speak to the sheep in the room who have committed to following Jesus. And I say, you can hear his voice. And if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Would you allow Jesus, the good shepherd, the best friend, speak to your heart this morning? Those of you who feel like you've walked away from the table of fellowship with Jesus, for those of you who sense that there is some Judas Iscariot inside of you that's walked away from the table of fellowship with Jesus, we extend the invitation to come back. You are made to fellowship at the table with Jesus. And we just cut off the things that have tethered you to the world. We say, Jesus, would you save and set free from a love of money this morning? Where we felt like we've got to go, we don't have time to fellowship with Jesus because we've got to make money, worry about money. We cut that off in Jesus' name. For those who are living in bondage to the fear of man, what will they say about me? What will they think about me if I stand with Jesus on this one? And so we remove ourselves. We come against that and we cut that off in Jesus' name. That can't hinder you from coming to the table anymore, worrying about what other people will think or the cost associated with standing with Jesus. We cut that off right now in Jesus' name. If what's kept you from coming to the table are religious rules and regulations that say, no, God has to work in this way, it has to look like this, Jesus isn't acting the way I expected him to, isn't coming in the way that I thought he would, we just break down our boxes and we lay them out before you. God, would you be breaking down boxes this morning? Because when you break down boxes, it leaves more space. It's like when you gotta recycle, when it's gotta go, you gotta break the boxes down so you can fit more in there. Break our boxes down so that there's more space for you, Jesus, to come and do what you want to do. We cut off any agreement, any attachment to the spirit of religion in this room this morning that keeps us from coming to the table. We thank you, Jesus, that your invitation for friendship is always available. We follow you, Jesus, from the table of fellowship into the garden, into deeper spaces of intimacy. For those of you this morning who resonate with this invitation, would you just covenant and commit to Jesus in your heart? Jesus, I want to walk with you. I want to walk with you in the garden. I want to talk with you. I want to follow you wherever you lead. You're so worthy of me laying down my life. What use is it for me to gain the world and lose my soul? I want you to have it all, Jesus. We just lay our lives down. We lay our wills down. We yield them before you. I believe that some of you have been in a season where decisions have felt really hard to make. And right now, he's just saying, as you lay this down, I'm actually going to turn it into a path to get you where you need to go. So we just lay down. We lay down those things that we've been holding on to. Thank you, Jesus. To go around and place name tags on each of you this morning that would receive this invitation, that like John got rid of his name tag and just put on his name tag, the beloved disciple, that those are the name tags he's wanting to hand out this morning. And so we take off our old name tag, our old identity. In Jesus, we receive your touch right now. As you place on us the name tag of beloved, beloved. This is my beloved. Nothing else matters about me. I'm his beloved. And would you just take time in this space as you commit to walking with and listening to your friend Jesus? The secret counsel of the Lord is for his friends, for those who fear him. He wants to reveal himself to you. He wants you to hear his voice. Would you ask Jesus this morning, how do you see me? How do you define me? And would you just let his revelation wash over you of just how beloved you are, what he thinks of you? I thank you for the way that you're speaking to hearts this morning. I thank you for this invitation of friendship with you, and I pray that you would strengthen the bond of friendship in us with you as we walk in your ways and listen and follow you wherever you go. That we would be a people that you can entrust yourself to because we are full of faith and willing to yield and lay down our lives for the sake of your kingdom. We bless you, Jesus. You're beautiful.
Thanks for listening. If you're looking for a way to get plugged into what we're doing, email us at office@washingtonchurch.org or go to our website, washingtonchurch.org.